Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that The Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch full episodes, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for The Greg Hill Show, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Another horrible Justin Fields play last night.
I don't think he has it. He might not have the makings of a starting NFL quarterback.
I said this earlier, Keith. I was still on the Fields bandwagon until like week six of this year. Like, if I had to pinpoint it, I'd have to look at his game log, but like something like that.
Uh-huh.
The only person I think still on the Fields bandwagon is Herb Street. If you were listening last night.
Oh, he's like
the guy loves his Buckeyes.
He was like, he's got so much like ability, or it's not like raw talent. He's like, he may have been bad. No, he goes, he struggled in Chicago. He struggled in Pittsburgh, and he's currently struggling with the Jets.
I forgot about this.
I was like, that's all the teams he's played for.
Yeah, those are all of his.
He's bad everywhere.
That's his whole career.
He has an occasional play or two, but he can't throw. They did a great credit to Ohio State for like hiding that, because he had a super high completion percentage, which also goes to show you why it's kind of a crappy stat, because it's really based on like what kind of throws you're making. But he was really good in college.
Who was there with him? Was that the Garrett Wilson team?
Probably.
Yeah, that
kind of helps.
That, yeah, well, oh, really, I mean, anybody
the,
at Ohio State.
The receivers at Ohio
Garrett
State.
Wilson, now he can't throw.
It was probably like Olave.
That's a good point. He does have Garrett Wilson.
It was
Wilson
probably
now.
Like Olave, Garrett Wilson.
Yeah.
JSN. Like, it was probably like an unbelievable receiver class that was there. Maybe he's too old for JSN.
So he was better his sophomore year than his junior year. I think he missed a couple games. But his junior year, his second year as a starter, he had 41 touchdown passes and 3 picks.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, pretty good. 67% completion percentages, but he was throwing to Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson. He also had J.K. Dobbins in the backfield. I mean, these teams are ridiculous.
Yeah, that's crazy. I saw Rich Cimini's stat earlier today. This is the Rich with all the answers.
He's the one that Aaron Glenn does not
Aaron like. Glenn is not a fan. No. He said the Jets are averaging a league low 139.9 passing yards per game. That is what they're
bad. Oh.
That's what they're doing as a team. 139.9 a game. Fields is over under last night was like 134. He hit the under. It's crazy. It's the lowest in the NFL since 2022. The Chicago Bears. You know who the quarterback was of the Bears in 2022?
The Bears.
Yeah. Justin Fields, 130.5 in that game. I would say if you were on the bandwagon like I was, even I've removed myself, it might be time to hop off there, Herbie. So that was the Fields turnover last night. Patriots couldn't punch it in from there, by the way, which I found frustrating.
Yeah.
It's like you got the ball at the 11.
Right.
Could you punch it in? They couldn't. I think that was the one, if I'm not mistaken, and I'd have to look at my notes, where May had Henry open. Mr. Thursday night, but it got tipped at the line of scrimmage.
Yep.
So that was frustrating for me. I think the main gripe or nitpick last night would be the Kyle Williams thing. And maybe you'd have the defensive starts higher or the clock management going into halftime higher.
Uh-huh.
I just thought Kyle Williams would be more involved last night than 0 catches on 3 targets. He played one fewer snap than Diggs. Diggs was out there with another 100-yard game. I think it was 46 snaps for Diggs, 45 for Williams. Williams had 3 targets last night. They couldn't have been further apart on any of the 3. One was a bad throw by May, where he hung up a throw in the double coverage for Williams down the field by the goal line. Probably should have been a pick. I'd say that was May's worst throw of the night. The other was up the left sideline. Williams looked over the wrong shoulder. May put it on his outside shoulder. He looked over the wrong shoulder. And then the third target, and I don't know if I have them in order or right, but the third target was up the right sideline. He cut off his route around like 15, 20 yards and May threw it like 40 yards down the field.
Yeah,
so
they
were nowhere near on the same page. I was hoping Kyle Williams, who I think got shortchanged on that touchdown last week against Tampa, great throw by May, but a lot of people were like, oh, anybody makes that play. It was all Drake May. That wasn't all Drake May. You got to turn on the Jets and round the corner and run it to the house. Not everybody does that. So I thought he got shortchanged on that touchdown. but he didn't use that as a building block at all. In fact, he reverted right back into the Kyle Williams that he had been the first 9 weeks of the
year.
Yeah,
yeah. No, no. And this is, I guess, a good problem. If we're discussing the fifth receiver on the depth chart doesn't have good chemistry with Drake May.
But it's also like a highly targeted ish day two pick. I mean, like, that's
a
guy.
I'm not saying it's not nothing. And, you know, you could spin it, well, hey, well, Will Campbell and Trevion Henderson's coming on and Jared Wilson starts.
Yeah, it's probably like a first world problem to have.
No, it is. Yeah. Like, this is back to, like, the team is good. Like, you're like, hey, this third round receiver is struggling, but he's not going to make or break your season. Right? Like, where there are other years where you're like, kind of need N'Keal Harry to get going here. Right. Kind of need Tyquan Thornton to maybe do something. Now they have a lot of other options, and he might be the only guy that Drake May doesn't have good chemistry with, right? Like, Hollins and Diggs clearly are there. Booty, when he comes back, is there. Pop Douglas, probably a notch below those guys, but certainly way ahead of Kyle Williams.
Yeah, that's a good game. Hang on. So I don't have the targets in front of me. I'm pulling them up right now. So I already did this with Diggs earlier. There were two incompletions to Diggs last night. By my estimation, they were both drops.
I would call them both drops, especially because of who Diggs is. Maybe a lesser receiver.
Did you think the first one was a hospital ball to Diggs? I got a lot of people in my mentions saying, oh, that was a hospital ball for May.
They didn't even get hit, did he? I mean, I know there was like a safety right
there. I think
there.
He was worried about getting
hit.
Well,
yeah, I guess that's the point, but he didn't. So that's one that you got to catch.
I thought that 1,000%.
He got hit a lot harder on the onside kick the other day.
Diggs should have caught it. Yeah, good point.
But no, I think he should have had both of those. Those are bad throws.
The only incompletion to Hollins, to your point, was the one that he dropped right in the bucket. Like, couldn't have been a better throw. Now, if you want to say Hollins didn't drop it and the defender made a good play, fine. I think Hollins could have and maybe should have held on to it there. But yeah, I mean, talk about the chemistry that May has with those two. All the throws were perfect. And then with Kyle Williams, they're not on the same page. Who do you think that's on?
I would
not
say on May. Kyle Williams, especially when you have a hit rate with the every other player. Right? Like, it took a few weeks for Pop Douglas, maybe even took a few weeks for like Mac Hollins, but I feel like he is on the same page with all those guys. So, yeah, I don't want to call it just a lost season, but I don't really expect anything the rest of the way from Kyle Williams.
No,
and especially if Kayshon Booty's able to come back.
Last night he played 45 snaps. Against a bad Jets defense. Last night was the night where if he was going to turn it on this season,
that is,
and not just make like a splash play against Tampa and maybe one more, but not consistent production or any building production, if he didn't do it last night, he's not doing it. Booty's going to come back and he's not going to get another chance.
No, I don't think so. Like, you may not even see him on the field, because that's the other wild part of this is he is getting snaps. He gets almost as many snaps as Diggs, the production obviously nowhere near, and he's getting way more snaps than Pop Douglas. So maybe there's something, if you want to like read into it, like, oh, they trust him, you know, pass blocking, or they trust him this, that. What? Okay, whatever. That's fine. Like, good for him, like, staying with it. But as far as being kind of a game changer or somebody that, you know, you might see down the stretch, I'm not holding my breath.
Pop played 19 snaps last night, but I think even though he's getting limited snaps, I think when he's out there, he's noticeable. He's the one who converted a 4th-and-2.
Yeah.
He had a big 3rd-and-10 conversion, too, on a longer catch. Same thing against Tampa the week before. So it's limited plays now for Pop Douglas, but the plays they go to him tend to be chain movers on big downs. And so, yeah, no, he's even, as you said, built up more of a chemistry with May.
So that's it. I think that's a good nitpick. I think the opening drive is one. And then I would just say, and it's weird to say it on a night where they allowed 116 passing yards, but the secondary, there were plays to be made. They just have the worst quarterback starting in the NFL right now. And without Garrett Wilson, maybe the worst group of receivers. Right? So, like, there were plays that A.D. Mitchell should have caught. Or a real receiver, or a real quarterback, I should say, puts the ball right to the open receivers when they did get open. So, like, that stands out to me. There's even a play, this wasn't a pass play, but, like, there should have been a loss for Justin Fields on one of his scampers to the left. Christian Gonzalez is right there.
It did nothing.
Kind of like two-hand touches him, then he picks up a first down.
I think Herbstreit even called him out, too. I was you want to talk about a business decision.
Yeah.
That looked like a business decision by Gonzalez.
He's like, somebody else is over here. Like, I'm not going to make the play. So Fields was able to pick up some yards on the ground. He had, more rushing yards? He had the most rushing yards as one person against the Patriots this season.
Oh, yeah, probably.
67.
Yeah.
And even Breece Hall got over 58. That's probably
Hall
the second
had
most.
58. Yeah. Yeah, the most was Sean Tucker last week, 53, I think.
So these guys both are...
They both had the most rushing yards against the Pats this year. Good point.
They allowed 14 points, right? They allowed 116 yards passing, which is nothing. But I think, like, next week, you play against Cincinnati, the ball is going to be on the receivers, and the receivers are going to catch the ball like that. So that's going to be a little bit different. I think it's going to be more akin to maybe like even the Falcons game, where Michael Penix Jr., not the greatest quarterback in the world, but when he threw to Drake London, they had a ton of success. So I
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that the Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever works for you.
And I think that will...
Yeah, I think there's just some signs of it.
Other teams can capitalize on it. The way they start games is just maddening, especially because Fields cannot throw. Mm-mm. So that one... I know they've been bad on the first drive. Like, that's apparently everybody doesn't know that, which is fine. We watch them every week. Dov Kleiman decided to watch them for the first time last night.
They don't look like contenders. He only watches Thursday Night Football.
He only has Amazon.
That's it.
This is
I have one streaming service.
But this is how they start every single game, so it's annoying. I mean, and I wish they would get it to stop, but I wasn't necessarily surprised they gave it up. I guess I was surprised
and
they
the
gave
fact
it up,
that
too.
They did that to the Bucs and still beat the Bucs. It sort of is like, all right, it's maybe it won't be their Achilles heel. It won't come back to bite them.
Well, some out there have accused them of cheating,
What's going on. They accused the Pats of cheating?
Yes.
Got it.
I've also seen
after
this, though.
After the first drive?
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
yeah. Right.
We got ourselves a bona fide cheating scandal.
If I were to cheat, I'd do it on the first. I'd start the game that way, personally. Mm-hmm. But no, there was a good theory on the text line, Keith, 617-779-7937. Maybe it's not a cheating situation. Maybe it's like a Luis Ortiz situation.
Oh.
Throw the first drive.
Yeah.
Make a few bucks. Then lock in. That to me
makes
sense.
Buying opportunity.
Yeah.
Or is it a little bit of rope-a-dope? Muhammad Ali had a lot of success. You make the other guy think that he's winning, and then no, sir.
Rip that away from him.
Yeah. They gassed themselves out on that first drive. That was a 7.5-minute drive and a touchdown.
Yeah, maybe. So, no,
They did finally catch Classe, too.
I saw that. He was at JFK.
Yeah.
Keefe's guy.
What an idiot. He was trying to, like, fly out of the country? Like, what a moron.
Well, this whole thing came full circle, because when I was in Cleveland, and it was Class A jersey night,
right.
We somehow got onto the story. So me and my two idiot buddies were all walking around Cleveland wearing Class A jerseys, as did 10,000 other people. And so my whole joke was,
gone to Cleveland. It would have fit right in.
No, but I was saying, like, if you committed a crime, and then everybody would be like, did you see the person? He was like, yeah. He was wearing an Emmanuel Class A jersey. So that was, like, the joke all weekend long. Yeah. And so now it's like literally it would be the perfect way to go. Like, he just walks out of the stadium with 10,000 other Class A jerseys. Nobody ever would have got him.
No, it would have been
hiding in plain sight. Emmanuel.
It was like a usual suspect situation where he's hobbling out of there in his own jersey. Would have been brilliant.
I know he's now a besmirched player, but I feel like the value of that free jersey just skyrocketed.
Well, infamous. He's an infamous player. Yeah, is what he is.
Your Shoeless Joes. Yeah. Your Pete Roses. Your sure. Emmanuel Classe.
Yeah, if only he signed it.
Yeah.
That's all right.
Yeah.
That's all right. I still have it. It's a beautiful jersey.
What an idiot. He rolls into JFK. He's like, I think enough time's passed. I can fly out of the country.
They're not looking for me now, are they?
No, I'm good.
It's like, that's not how it works, Emmanuel. You're on something called the no-fly list.
So anyway, maybe the Patriots are throwing the drive. That to me is more believable
that first
than the cheating. Yeah.
Tank the first drive and then play.
Yes.
Or maybe they're trying to challenge themselves. Like, listen, guys, the Jets, not a fair fight. We spot them a touchdown. Now we play.
Now we play with kind of tie one hand behind our back
yes.
sort of situation.
Yep.
No, there's that. The thing that we disagree on, the end of the half bothered me. And it wasn't that they were sitting on their timeouts. That I actually got. And I think waiting for the last 30 seconds with your timeouts, that to me made sense. I just felt like, and they kept cutting to Vrabel. I think Vrabel felt this way. They were kind of lollygagging their way around in the last like 2+ minutes, where I just felt like there could have been more urgency leading up to it, where instead of a 45-yard kick, which Borregales should make, and he made another 40-plus-yard field goal last night. He made another field goal after that. So Borregales should make the kick, not to let him off the hook.
Yeah.
But I just think if you had a little more urgency, maybe you're going for a touchdown, or maybe you're going for a more makeable field goal or a closer field goal. And that was my gripe with their clock management before the half. I didn't mind waiting it out and sitting on the timeouts, but you could have gone faster because let's say you score with 30 seconds left. This is not Baker Mayfield.
No,
this is
not.
Justin. What's Justin Fields going to do in 30 seconds?
He might run really fast.
Actually, don't answer that.
It's none of your business is what he's going to do.
Please, actually, don't answer that. But, you know, Justin Fields is not going to put together a drive in 30. You can give Justin Fields 8 minutes, and they can't work their way down the field. Down the field, Keith.
Yeah, I got it.
So I didn't understand treating it like it's Baker Mayfield on the other side. And it felt like that's how Vrabel and the offense were treating it.
Do you think part
of it should have had more urgency?
Do you think part of it was, you go back to the Atlanta game, they're up 21-7 late first half, and it's that back and forth. Do we go for it? Do we not? Do we kneel it? Do we go for it? Raheem Morris on timeouts, fumble. Next thing you know, they score a touchdown. You're like, wait a minute, we're going to go for a double score and be up 28-7 or something like that, or 35-7. No, now it's 21-14. So I wonder if that was in the back of their mind, because I don't hate it, because they were essentially at the 50-yard line with 30 seconds to go and three timeouts. So you can throw in the middle of the field. You could run if you want. You could do whatever you want still. They had four plays after that. They moved the ball up, and they did have a field goal attempt.
Yeah, but remember, wasn't the last play a draw? Like, on third down, didn't they run? Like, why the hell did they do that?
They did. I don't know. I mean, that's your guy McDaniels, I guess. Yeah. But they got like only like a yard closer anyway, and then they missed the field goal. But they could have done anything. I wonder if they were afraid that they wouldn't have had time. You know, you'd have to make sure your guy gets down immediately and calls timeout. Like, if it's a catch and any kind of run, maybe they would have bled too much clock.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Or if May's rolling out or something like that, and you run out of clock.
And
maybe.
You lose yards.
Maybe.
But
it didn't feel like there was enough urgency there.
But also, if they scored, if they even just kicked the field goal, like, I feel like the game was over anyway. Like, once they got that touchdown out of the way and they allowed the touchdown, once they were up 14-7, I'm like, all right, and I know they're getting the ball back to start the second half, I feel like the game was over. But if they made it 17-7 at the half,
yeah, I also felt that way in real time, but then they didn't get a field goal. Then they went three and out to start the second half.
No, but I'm saying, like, the way they ran the final 2 minutes of the first half, they at the very least were going to walk away with three if they didn't miss the kick. Is my point. So, like, I don't hate that.
Yeah, I think that was, look, and I don't mean to harp on that. Just last night, it was a short week, and I think a lot of people are coming in today. You called it a solid win.
Yeah, solid.
I think a lot of people are saying, well, they did what they were supposed to. They got the win. It was a short week. Well, right. But I would just say they weren't as dialed in as they should have been. Their clock management, the way they started the second half, that wasn't as good as the Tampa game the week before. We got the erasing himself, tripping all over his feet last night.
He did have that.
Another horrible drive defensively to start. Twitch chat is saying, why aren't we talking about the adjustments? We have talked about that, and they get credit for adjusting.
Mm-hmm.
I just wish they would take away some of these opening drives here and there.
Yeah.
They don't. So that's frustrating. It probably doesn't matter at the end of the day, especially against the Jets. That's frustrating. Diggs had a couple of drops, which he hasn't had all year. Hollins could have reeled one in. Like, I think there's just a few examples they weren't totally dialed in. Not the biggest crime in the world.
Nope.
They won. But I think that's fair to acknowledge that they weren't as dialed in last night as they have been. They're good enough to still beat a team like the Jets, even if that's the case. But I think we can all say that wasn't their best performance last night.
No.
And the fact we're now to that point with this team does speak volumes about where they are.
Right.
At the top of the AFC, only 9-win team in football.
Hit the over on the wins week 11.
And May hit the over, his preseason over on touchdowns. By week 11, they check both of those boxes.
I don't think anybody saw that coming.
Nope. Yeah. No, certainly not. 617-779-7937. You can jump in line for WEEI Afternoons. You got Hart. You got Fitzy. You got Ted at 2 today on a Patriots Friday. So stay tuned for that. We'll also get you the clip du jour. And right after trending with Billy Lanny, it's time for Grab Bag.
Well, I hear the grab bag coming. It's rolling round the bend. Jones and Keefe haven't seen the sunshine since. They don't know when. Well, they're stuck in Brighton prison. And time keeps dragging on. But that grab bag keeps rolling on down to 2 p.m.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that The Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever works for you.